Our Father in heaven, the great almighty God, the God who has created all things according to your perfect wisdom and almighty power, the God who loves us, who cares for us. Father, we thank you for redeeming us by the blood of Christ. Thank you that we are your children, you are in your kingdom, and we also can have a part in the advancement of your kingdom. We pray, Father, that you will have the freedom to speak to us, to teach us your ways, that we may understand what you reveal in the scriptures, that we may understand how to walk with you, how to be true to you, faithful to you, and accomplish what you desire of us. We commit this time to your hands, and we pray that the Spirit of God may have the freedom to grant us insight into the truth. For we ask and pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We continue with our consideration of the subject, the fulfillment of God's purposes, the 121st message, and the topic for today: any believer can contribute much to the advancement of God's kingdom. Any believer can contribute much to the advancement of God's kingdom. There is a short passage of 4 verses in the scriptures that can be a strong encouragement to all believers who are concerned about effective contribution to the advancement of God's kingdom, and this should be an issue that all those who love the Lord would be concerned about. This passage helps us to see that any believer can contribute significantly to the advancement of God's kingdom, whoever you may be. There is no need for special skills, capabilities, or any special spiritual gifts. There is no need for special training. You can appear to be a nobody in the eyes of the world, or even to other believers. And you may even appear to be contributing nothing, and yet you can be actively contributing effectively to the advancement of God's kingdom. Those who appear to be doing nothing or nothing of significance may in reality be participating significantly to the advancement of God's kingdom and having great impact in God's kingdom. On the other hand, those who appear to be contributing significantly may in reality be contributing little or nothing. Let's turn to Mark chapter 12. We look at this passage in Mark chapter 12, verses 41 to 44. The passage on the poor widow. Mark chapter 12, verse 41. And he sat down opposite the treasury, this is the Lord Jesus, and began observing how the people were putting money into the treasury. And many rich people were putting in large sums. A poor widow came and put in 2 small copper coins, which amount to a cent. Calling his disciples to him, he said to them, "Truly, I say to you, this poor widow put in more than all the contributors to the treasury. For they all put in out of their surplus, but she, out of her poverty, put in all she owned, all she had to live on." This is one of my favorite passages in the scriptures. And the poor widow is one of my favorite characters in the Bible. There is very much that we can learn from this passage from different angles, and today I want to reflect on this passage from the angle of contribution to the advancement of God's kingdom. To me, this short passage can speak powerfully to us on this subject. It can help us see and remember important aspects of this important area of truth. Let us look at verse 41. And he, the Lord Jesus, sat down opposite the treasury and began observing. Notice here is recorded for us that it is the Lord Jesus who was observing. And today he is still observing. In fact, the Lord Jesus is observing all that is taking place in this world, and not just what is going on at the external level, at the visible plane, but he also knows what is in our hearts and in our minds. And the Lord Jesus sees accurately, perfectly. And what he sees is what counts. So it's important for us to pay attention to what he has to say. And the Lord Jesus observes in verse 41, tells us how the people were putting money into the treasury, and many rich people were putting in large sums. And there's this poor widow who came and put in two small copper coins, which amount to a cent. So there were many people, many were putting in large sums, but there was this poor widow who put in two small copper coins, which amount to a cent. Let's now look at verse 43. Calling his disciples to him, he said to them, "Truly I say to you." Not only did the Lord Jesus observe what is going on, he now called his disciple to himself, and then he said, "Truly I say to you." This tells us that what the Lord Jesus was going to tell them was something important. He specifically called his disciples to himself, and then he said, "Truly I say to you." From what he has observed, there's something important he wants to tell them, and it's important for them to pay attention. And likewise, it is important for us to pay attention to what he has to say. And then if we read on what the Lord Jesus said, you'll find that what the Lord Jesus says shows how he views things. How he views things can be very different from how people generally look at things. In fact, we can say what the Lord Jesus says here, it's not only surprising, unexpected, but also, on the face of it, very difficult to understand. Yet the poor widow put in more than all the contributors to the treasury. It says in verse 43, "Truly I say to you, this poor widow put in more than all the contributors to the treasury." Surprising, unexpected, hard to understand. And yet, what he says is what counts. No matter who else may say whatever, it is what the Lord Jesus says that counts. Because what he says is truth, accurate. But you may ask, how can this be so? How can it be that the poor widow contributed more than all the other contributors? She only contributed a cent, whereas many rich people were putting in large sums. An important truth we can learn from this passage is that the Lord's appreciation of our life and our conduct is not based on the outward expression, but the primary issue is the meaning and the reality within our hearts manifested by the outward act. This is a very important principle we have considered, emphasized from time to time. But I want to go beyond this. Beyond this important principle, we can ask the question, is the Lord Jesus merely saying that he appreciates the meaning of what the poor widow did more than what the rest did? Or is the Lord also saying the poor widow actually contributed more than all the other contributors? In my understanding, the answer is yes. he emphasized, "Truly I say to you, this poor widow put in more than all the contributors to the treasury." He is saying that the poor widow actually contributed more. How can this be so? She only contributed a cent, whereas the others contributed much more. Were the two copper coins that she contributed special? No, there's no indication there's anything special. It only amounted to a cent. So in what sense could she be contributing more? And contributing more towards what? You can say, in reality, the poor widow did contribute more than all the other contributors in the sense that truly counts. And that is from the perspective of God's kingdom. The positive meaning and impact in the spiritual realm. What the others were contributing were large sums. She contributed a cent. But the cent, the way she contributed, the impact, the meaning in the spiritual realm. The positive meaning and impact in the spiritual realm was more than all that the others contributed. And that is directly related to what we've been considering in the preceding messages and on this subject of the advancement of God's kingdom. The positive meaning impact in the spiritual realm, meaning her contribution to the advancement of God's kingdom. We saw the Lord Jesus specifically called the disciples to himself and said, "Truly I say to you," because the subject matter of true contribution and the subject of the advancement of God's kingdom is of primary importance in the heart of the Lord Jesus. And he wanted to make sure the disciples understood how to look at true contribution, the meaning and the significance of true contribution, how to give an accurate understanding of this issue. And also, it is easy for us to have wrong ideas on this subject. Ultimately, what God is really concerned about is not the physical, material aspects of what we contribute, but what he's truly concerned about is the significance in the spiritual realm, from the perspective of God's kingdom. What really counts in his kingdom? What will make a real difference in God's kingdom, positively, and that is the advancement of God's kingdom. So even as the Lord Jesus emphasized it so strongly in this way, especially calling disciples, emphasizing to them, "Truly I say to you," then it is helpful for us to take time to reflect upon, to learn from the observations and the comments of the Lord Jesus in this passage, and not just try to understand it with our minds, but it is very important to take time to reflect upon the content, the meaning of what the Lord Jesus is trying to communicate, because they can help us to develop strong convictions on how we should approach this all-important issue of participation and contribution to the advancement of God's kingdom. What the Lord desires of us, what he requires of us. So let us ask the Lord to help us to understand how to discern what is truly effective participation and contribution in his kingdom. Like the poor widow, there are various ones who love God from different parts of the world who are quietly contributing much to the advancement of God's kingdom without recognition by others. The poor widow, from what we can see in the passage, likely nobody noticed her contribution, and nobody regarded her contribution as of significance, except the Lord Jesus. On the other hand, there are many in the limelight who project themselves as contributing much, who also may think they are contributing much, and who also may be regarded by others as contributing much. Backed up by what appears to be spectacular achievements and impressive statistics, but in reality may be making negligible positive impact in God's kingdom. And beyond that, there can be the presence of negative features in their approach and attitude, which may actually hinder the Lord's work and give ground for the forces of darkness to work. Let us prayerfully look to the Lord to help us to understand these issues and to ensure that we do not belong to this latter category. The day will come when all things will become clear. And it is likely that when that time comes, there will be many surprises, just as in this episode recorded for us in the scriptures. Many who may think that they have fared relatively well, contributed much, may find that what they have done is regarded and turns out to be wood, hay, and stubble. And on the other hand, there are those who appear insignificant, who appears to have contributed hardly anything, may in reality be much appreciated by the Lord and have actually contributed significantly in God's kingdom. So it's important for us to seek the Lord, to ask Him to help us to understand how does He want us to contribute our part. It's important that we do not go about it according to our own thinking, natural reasoning, or act on the basis of the expectations of others, or just look around us and see what others are doing, and then do likewise. We cannot afford to make a mistake in this vital area. And this is very important at a personal level for each one of us, as well as for us together in church life. We must seek the Lord to have a wholesome, accurate understanding of this issue. Let us ponder further and look at this passage, the thrust of it, the meaning, and the implications for our lives. Let us take note. What is recorded for us here is a poor widow. No name is given. It can be any believer. No name, no status, not wealthy. In fact, we can say very poor. No special capabilities. Not well known. Her contribution, not obvious. Nobody notices. Nobody at a human level, but the Lord knows, and He notices. She did not contribute. She did not do anything spectacular. No obvious outward achievements. No recognition for what she had contributed. And yet, she contributed more than all the other contributors. What she did, any believer can. Nothing very special. She just contributed two small copper coins. What she did, any believer can contribute in this way. And herein lies the significance of this passage. If it's a story of, if you read of David and so on, you say, oh, I'm not a king. I can't do what David did. But here, this poor widow, what is recorded for us here? Why did the Lord just highlight it in this way? It can speak to us in a very powerful way. Whoever we may be, we can also contribute much in the way this poor widow did. Let us ponder further. Is it only on this occasion that this poor widow contributed significantly? The answer to the question lies in what gave rise to the significance of her contribution. Although the scriptures doesn't record for us other occasions, how she lived her life, but if we look at the passage, it is quite clear that what gave rise to the significance of her contribution is the reality and meaning in her heart. This is what gave rise to the significance, not something special about the two copper coins. This means, if the reality and meaning in her heart is maintained, she will continually contribute significantly from the perspective of God's kingdom. And this is a very important truth for us to take note of. She will continually contribute significantly to the advancement of God's kingdom, wherever she may be, whatever she may be doing. This will be so if she is spiritually healthy and growing well in the Lord and channeling her time, energy, and resources in the way the Lord desires of her. This last part is a very important qualification. If she is spiritually healthy, growing well in the Lord, and she's prayerful, she's channeling her time, energy, and resources the way the Lord desires of her. It is not automatic. There needs to be that close walk with the Lord, the sensitivity to the Lord, the commitment to God, to lead, to guide, and for her to respond and act accordingly as the Lord desires of her. Is this too good to be true? That all believers can truly, continually contribute significantly to the advancement of God's kingdom? Perhaps because we've been considering the subject for some time, it may not sound so unexpected for us, this statement. But for many believers who look at themselves without, they consider themselves as not very able spiritually, they do not have very much to give, and many believers may feel that it's very difficult for them to contribute anything of significance to God's kingdom. There may also be various ones in our midst who feel this way. We may also feel, as we look at our lives, is that possible for us, not only on one occasion, but continually contribute effectively, significantly to God's kingdom? Yes, it is true. Whoever we may be, wherever we may be, this is the teaching of the scriptures, not just from this passage. This is actually the way God wants us to live out our lives. And the Lord Jesus assures us that the life of continuing fruitfulness is not only feasible for any believer, it is His will for all believers. And the Lord Jesus not only exhorts us, He also teaches us and shows us how we can live in this way. Let's turn to John chapter 15, two verses, which we have often looked at, and these are two key verses in the scriptures. The Lord Jesus says, "Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit, for apart from me, you can do nothing." The Lord Jesus says, abide in me and I in you. You can say he invites us, he exhorts us, he instructs us. And who is this addressed to? It is addressed to all believers. He wants all and each and every believer to abide in him and he in us. And he makes it quite clear. We are like the branch and he the vine. And the branch must abide in the vine. And if we abide in him and he in us, verse 5, we will bear much fruit. Apart from him, we can do nothing. Nothing of value, of significance in God's kingdom. We cannot contribute to God's kingdom unless we abide in him and he in us. But if we were to do so, and we must do so, he wants us to do so, you can be any believer. And he says, he bears much fruit. And it's quite clear, when the Lord Jesus tells us he bears much fruit, he's not just talking about external, what appears to be. He's talking about true fruit. And this true fruit must be of value and significance in God's kingdom. It is much fruit that endures to eternity. Not only that, in verse 8, he tells us, my Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. That this bearing much fruit glorifies God. This much fruit that endures to eternity, that glorifies God, is clearly what is of value in God's kingdom, positive impact on God's kingdom. It is contribution to the advancement of God's kingdom. And much fruit means effective contribution, significant contribution. And we continually abide in Christ and he in us, we will continually be bearing much fruit. This is the will of the Lord. This can be true for any believer, and it is the Lord's will for every believer. We saw in the last message, the Lord Jesus wants us to be the salt of the earth and the light of the world. Not just sometimes, here and there. At all times, wherever we may be, the light shining forth brightly from our lives at all times. And this would mean continuing positive witness and impact in the spiritual realm. Continuing positive contribution to the advancement of God's kingdom. This is the will of the Lord for every disciple of Christ. All this that we are considering is directly applicable to each one of us. But I want now to emphasize further some of the major things that we need to ponder further in application for our own lives. If we are deeply convicted about this area of truth, it can help us to be strongly motivated to concentrate on some of the major issues that we have sought to emphasize over the years, and this is what the scriptures emphasizes. It's important for us to be strongly motivated because what we want to work out will be difficult. There will be spiritual opposition, and it's difficult to persevere well. So it's important for us to be deeply convicted and strongly motivated. How can this come about? It doesn't come about by just sheer human decision to be very determined. You will fail. We must look to the Lord that he will grant us insight. Not just hear, not our heads. Do we really see? Are we deeply convicted? If we are, we can become strongly motivated. For example, to concentrate on our spiritual health and growing well in moral and spiritual stature. We've seen that that is what is critical for the poor widow to continually contribute significantly. And likewise for our lives. and for the light to continue to shine brightly. Together with that, living our lives the way God desires of us, as He has revealed to us in the Scriptures, that we do pay attention to what the Scriptures teach us, the various things that God wants to communicate to us. We are eager to understand, to pay heed, to absorb, and to reflect the truths and principles in our lives with a deep conviction that as we do so, there will be significant, far-reaching implications that has eternal significance, that endures for eternity, that makes a difference in God's kingdom, not just for our own lives, but for the lives of others, and that the Lord may be indeed glorified. And only in our personal lives, concentrating on our spiritual health, seeking to understand what the Scriptures teach, to absorb the truth in our lives, also we will be strongly convicted and motivated to encourage and uphold one another in this direction. This is what will grip us. This is what will consume our lives. That this is of utmost importance. Every day we will be deeply conscious of these truths. And what we've seen in the preceding messages on what the Lord wants us to concentrate upon, and that is to concentrate on what the Scriptures emphasizes, which we've seen also coincides with what ought to be the primary concentration of those who desire to participate effectively in the advancement of God's kingdom. Rather than be preoccupied with the outward and outward accomplishments, or over-impressed with what appears to be, even if they may appear to be spectacular accomplishments, that we will not be easily distracted by other things. And so we have seen that to participate effectively in the advancement of God's kingdom, we must concentrate on positive moral and spiritual input in the spiritual realm and promoting God's reign in the hearts of men. This is what we will be deeply convicted about, conscious of at all times. And we have seen that the practical outworking together would mean that together we will be concentrating on the biblical emphasis on the meaning and the quality of our relationship with God. Not only personal level, but together we will be encouraging one another to concentrate on this. Our relationship with God, worship, prayer, fellowship amongst the brethren, preaching and teaching, growth in moral and spiritual stature, spiritual warfare and setting the captives free. We have seen that these are the key issues of the Christian faith and the outworking of healthy church life, what healthy church life ought to concentrate upon. We will be strongly motivated, deeply convicted, and unwavering, because we recognize that the nature and quality of these various aspects and how we fare in these aspects will have a direct relationship with effectiveness in contributing to the furtherance of God's kingdom. Because they promote and manifest the reign of God and the power of God and the glory of God. We also know that healthy church life, which provides such an environment, is extremely important. But we will not only recognize this in our minds, we will set our hearts to promote this reality together, and not just waiting for it to happen. Together with all these features as the foundational core of our approach to the outworking of our faith, it's important that in our hearts we are genuinely available to the Lord to guide us and to use us as He sees fit. Is this really true of our lives? Or do we only profess with our lips? Are we truly willing to do anything, to go anywhere, to fulfill the part God has allotted to us in the body of Christ? In the expression of local church life, as well as in a universal church. The degree we understand, we seek the Lord, and seek to contribute our part, and always looking to the Lord to guide us and to enable us. And what we understand the Lord wants us to work at, we are not perturbed if it seems insignificant. If it doesn't seem to obviously contribute anything very much, it may be only two small copper coins, but we are deeply convicted that if we concentrate on faithfulness to the Lord, and if we are indeed faithful to God, we are abiding in Christ and He in us, then like the poor widow, the contribution of the two small copper coins will be very significant. This is the way the Lord wants us to work out our faith, as revealed in the scriptures. If we live in this way, we can be sure we will live an abundant and fruitful life. It's not just hopefully, maybe, it will be. We will honor the Lord, we will glorify the Lord, we will fulfill His will, and we will contribute effectively to God's kingdom. Though outwardly it may not be obvious, it may not appear to be so, others may not think so, we are not perturbed, and we should not be perturbed by all these things. Just like the poor widow and the significance of a contribution, others may not notice it, others may not think so. It is very important for each one of us to live in this way with conviction and perseverance, because it will not be easy to live in this way. We look at a poor widow and we think it's quite easy, put in two small copper coins. But the underlying realities and truth to persevere, to live in this way, is actually very difficult, because this whole attitude of heart to continually work at it as the Lord desires of us, there is tremendous potential in contribution to God's kingdom, and there will be significant spiritual opposition. There will be many distractions. There will be many difficulties along the way to discourage us. And this kind of approach and living is not attractive to the flesh. When we look at something that's obviously, outwardly appears spectacular, great achievements, it's much easier to work at such things. But to faithfully work at what God desires of us, especially when it is not obvious, or nobody knows, nobody notices, it is very difficult. So let us take note. The poor widow contributed more than all the other contributors. That is, her contribution was very significant from the perspective of God's kingdom. But she only had two small copper coins. And a person in her situation could easily look at the two small copper coins, which amount only to a cent, and feel that she has nothing worth contributing. But pause and consider. If this poor widow had refrained from contributing because she thought her contribution would be insignificant, and that could easily have taken place, then it would have been a great loss from the spiritual perspective. Believers who think they have little to contribute would be making a big mistake if they refrain from contributing what they can, as the Lord desires of them, especially if these believers are sincere in their faith and they walk with God. And such people can refrain because they think they have nothing worth contributing, nothing of significance. Let us also consider and reflect upon this point. just one individual believer, the poor widow, she already contributed more than all the others who contributed so much. At least materially there. But it's just one individual. There can also be various individuals here and there who contributed. But envisage the meaning and significance of the contribution of those who love the Lord in the context of the proper working of church life, which God has revealed to us. He wants us to work out together in church life. And if there is the proper working of each individual part in church life, the potential for impact in the spiritual realm and the advancement of God's kingdom will indeed be very great. When there is effective expression of body life in the proper working of each individual part, each one fitting in, doing as the Lord desires. Each one contributing in the way that God desires. It is vital for all and for each one to participate and contribute as the Lord desires, as He leads, as He enables. And it is very important that we do not hold back because we think we do not have anything worth contributing or our contribution will not amount to anything much. Because we think we only have two small copper coins, or we are negligent, or we are careless, or we simply bury our one talent, or we are lazy, or we do not persevere. We just contribute something once, twice, and that's it. And then we wait a long, long time before we contribute a little more. No, we should all the time be functioning the way God desires to function. The body is meant to function all the time, not go to sleep. Various parts of the body go to sleep, and then once in a while, function. Every part of the body must function to contribute to the total life of the body at all times. It is critical, not only for the physical body, but for the spiritual body. It is vital for all to participate and contribute as the Lord desires and He leads and He enables, even in small ways and what may appear to be insignificant contributions. This approach would mean that it requires for each one of us to be prayerful, to be careful, to be diligent and consistently working at it. Seeking the Lord, each one and together, seeking the Lord to guide us and to enable us and continually fulfill our part. It will be wonderful if each one and every one of us can be deeply convicted of this truth and work at it as the Lord desires. We can then look forward to the Lord manifesting His glory, His power in ways that we have not yet seen. Much, much more. There's much more that we can look forward to. Some concluding remarks. We must look to the Lord. For all this to become a reality and to work out well, we must look to the Lord. Seek the Lord. At a personal level and together as His people, look to the Lord, that He will bring it about in our hearts and through our lives. After understanding these things, we must be careful. We must not just strive on our own strength, in our own strength, or look to our own resources, or even reliance on our own determination. Oh, this is very important. And so we are very determined to work it out. Such an approach will not result in true fruit. Sometimes it can result in a false sense of achievement. With human determination, there may be some external achievements and we can have a false sense that we are achieving. But this kind of approach can easily lead to a deep sense of frustration and despair because it will not work out well. Whatever it is, it cannot work out well and bear good fruit. we must see clearly that God must bring it about, that this is His will, and He wants to bring it about. It is His work, it is His kingdom, He has made the provisions. We must look to Him to guide us, to enable us, and to bring it about in our lives and through our lives. But together with this, looking to God is also our strong confidence that nothing is too difficult for God to bring it about if we are willing to submit ourselves to the Lord, to be available to Him. We are truly committed to Him. So we must see clearly that God must bring it about, that this is His will, and that He wants to bring it about. Therein lies our confidence. He wants to bring it about. It is His work. It is His kingdom. He has made the provisions. And not only that, He is drawing us in that direction. And all the exhortations in the scriptures and all that God has revealed in the scriptures is meant to help us to move in that direction. He is not grudging. He wants to bring it about. Are we willing to respond well to His calling? But it will not be easy to fulfill our part well. But by His grace, it can come about. He will bring it about in our lives. As we entrust our lives to Him, as we cooperate with Him, as we are earnest in our response to the working of His Spirit in our hearts. So we must concentrate on responding to the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives in the light of the truth revealed in the scriptures. We must constantly fix our eyes on the Lord Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. There must be a constant looking to God and reliance on Him and abiding in Christ and He in us. Yes, in that context, there needs to be determination. But it's a determination of fulfilling our part in responding well to what the Holy Spirit desires to work in our lives and through our lives. It's determination by the grace of God in fellowship with God, cooperating with what the Lord desires to bring about in our lives. And determination that together with the Lord, determined that we will not be deterred. We will not allow ourselves to be overcome, whatever the spiritual opposition and wiles of the evil one. And we are alert. There are many, many different ways the evil one will seek to deter us, to lead us astray, to deceive us, to discourage us. And he can work in different ways in different people's lives. And he knows our weaknesses and what the weaknesses he can exploit and take advantage of in different ones. We can never overcome and be effective in God's kingdom unless we look to the Lord to help us, to equip us, to enable us to overcome all the wiles and opposition of the evil one. But as we look to the Lord and trust our lives to Him, trust in Him, together work at it as He desires of us, we can have true confidence that the Lord will help us, will enable us, and we can be more than conquerors. We can overwhelmingly conquer through Him who loves us, and God will always lead us in triumph in the Lord Jesus Christ, although we have a formidable foe. A final comment. Notice the poor widow was prepared to give all she owned. That is what the scriptures tells us in verse 44. They all put in out of their surplus, but she, out of her poverty, put in all she owned, all she had to live on. The poor widow was prepared to put in, to give all she owned. That was an expression of the kind of love she had for the Lord. So if we want to work out well, we need to ponder the implications for our lives. Are we prepared at a personal level to do likewise. I don't mean putting two small copper coins. I mean the principle of the poor widow putting the two small copper coins. This is the principle of consecration, the spirit of holding back nothing in our love for the Lord, our obedience to God. All our resources are available to the Lord to use as He sees fit. Our whole life, our whole being, a living sacrifice, our time, our energy, our resources of whatever form, they are truly consecrated to the Lord for Him to use as He sees fit. Is this true of our lives? We must concentrate on this, asking the Lord to help us to move more and more in that direction, that indeed our lives may be truly be an expression of this kind of love and commitment to the Lord. And this is lived out, expressed in practical daily living. All the time, the way we live our life is an expression of this kind of attitude and spirit. And even when nobody is looking, nobody notices, nobody recognizes. That is the meaning of what the poor widow was doing. Nobody notices, nobody recognizes, but she was giving her all. Nobody may be aware. Are we prepared to live with this kind of spirit and attitude in reality and continue to concentrate on being faithful to the Lord and what He desires of us? Let us, as we prepare ourselves to partake of Lord's Supper, reflect on God's love and goodness toward us, His high calling, and our lives. What is the meaning of our commitment to the Lord? Are we truly consecrated to Him? We acknowledge Him as Lord. Is He truly the Lord of our lives? Is our life, our total being, an expression of a living sacrifice? Are all our resources truly available to the Lord to use as He sees fit? Are we concentrating on the spiritual, eternal kingdom of God? Are we living our lives consistent with scriptural emphasis at a personal level and together in church life? Let us look to the Lord that He will help us. They will not be deterred, distracted by the wiles of the evil one, by the temptations in the world. There are many different ways the evil one can work on the weakness of the flesh to dilute our lives so that we are no longer living in the direction, the spirit, the reality of how God desires us to live, as we've seen in our reflections on this passage on the poor widow. There are major principles that the scriptures emphasizes, which are clear, unambiguous, even as we acknowledge the Lordship of Christ. Let us look to the Lord that this may be indeed true of every aspect of our lives, and we look to the Lord to grant us deep conviction, to be strongly motivated to continually work at our lives and encourage one another to live our lives together in that direction. Our Father in heaven, we thank You for helping each one of us to be born of the Spirit, to enter Your kingdom, and to have a part in Your work. We pray, Father, that You will renew our minds, grant us insight into the truth You desire to speak to us, help us that we may truly hear, absorb what your Spirit desires to speak to us, that we may develop strong convictions consistent with what you revealed in the Scriptures, that we may be strongly motivated to rise up to your high calling, that we may concentrate on what is truly important, that you'll help each one of us, and together in church life, to know how to seek you, to grow well in you, to abide in Christ and He in us, that indeed we may continually bear good fruit, that the light from our hearts may shine forth, that we may fulfill what the Lord has entrusted to us, that indeed we may be His faithful witnesses, faithful ambassadors of Christ. Father, we know that it is not easy to be faithful to you in this fallen world. The evil one easily takes advantage of our weaknesses and the weakness of the flesh. And yet we know that we can have true confidence in you, that in Christ we can overcome. We can be more than conquerors and overwhelmingly conquer through Him who loves us. And so, Father, we ask that you help each one of us to understand what it means to commit our lives to you, and how to be true to you, and how we can encourage one another to fulfill our part in the body of Christ, that they may indeed be the proper working of each individual part, the body built up in love, not just amongst believers, but also non-believers may be added to your kingdom. That we will not just concentrate on what is obvious, but concentrate on being faithful to you. For we know that many things take place in the spiritual realm that is not obvious. And so, Father, we ask that you will speak to each one of us and help us to know in what way we can live our lives more faithfully in line with what you desire of us. We thank you now for the Lord's Supper. We can partake together. We ask for your blessings on the bread and wine. And we ask that you will prepare our hearts, that we may not partake the Lord's Supper in an unworthy manner, that you will help us to partake in faith and to be strengthened afresh by the life of Christ, that we may be able to live out what you desire of us. For we ask and pray in Jesus' name. Amen.